Welcome to a burning fire. Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. When I began to record the lessons for A Burning Fire, these lessons that we have heard time and time and over again, the first lesson was on the subject of heaven, and this last lesson will also be on the subject of heaven. After all, heaven is the goal. It holds priority for us in everything that we do in this life. This is our one hope. It seemed appropriate to me to begin this final recording with another lesson on the subject of heaven. Even though we will not simply be repeating what we said in the first, naturally there will be some overlapping in teaching. And we have discussed the subject of heaven in various ways, included in a number of lessons through the some 940 different lessons that we have presented on A Burning Fire. But heaven is mentioned over 600 times in the Bible. Now, to be sure, it does not always refer to the same thing or the same place. For instance, in Luke 15 and verse 21, when the prodigal son was making his confession of wrongdoing, and also in Matthew 21 and verse 25, when Jesus asked regarding the baptism of John, heaven is used to refer to God and His authority. In Deuteronomy 1 and verse 28 and Deuteronomy 9 and verse 1, heaven simply refers to something of great height, cities walled to heaven or fenced up to heaven. And repeatedly, heaven refers to the abode of God. Our Father, which art in heaven, Matthew 6 and verse 9. That's one example. And in Matthew 5 and verse 12, Jesus said, great is your reward in heaven, meaning the place of reward and the abode of the blessed. Now, like many other matters, the meaning is determined by the context. Now, in the Jewish mind, there were three heavens, possibly four. This is a matter of dispute, but it's not too important. In Genesis chapter 1, 7 and 8, it speaks of the air, where the birds fly, where the storms rage, where clouds form. In Genesis 1 and 17, heaven refers to space, the place of the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets. As mentioned, it often refers to the dwelling place of God. Then we have the location of heaven in Paul's vision, recorded in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 through 4. Paul called it the third heaven, meaning the Hadean realm and paradise. He was caught up into paradise. Paradise was where Jesus went when he died. But that was not the abode of the Father, because he had not yet ascended to the Father even after his resurrection, John 20 and verse 17. Now, from the earliest biblical history, men knew something better was over there. Enoch did. Revelation from God guarantees a life beyond, but where? Our hope is not limited, you see, to this life, 1 Corinthians 15, 19. Heavenly reward is still future, Hebrews 3 and verse 14. Here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. The heaven for which we hope is a part of the good news, and we can lay up treasures in heaven that will not perish, Matthew 6, 19 through 21. And how many times we have wondered, what will heaven be like? Now, while this is not our major concern in this lesson, let me answer that question by saying, of course, it will be like nothing that we can adequately describe because of its grandeur. Literal language is simply too tame and commonplace to be adequate. But we can be sure that however heaven will be, it will be to our liking. There are many questions regarding heaven for which specific answers are not given us, and they only provoke speculation, which may be interesting but uncertain, and we cannot become dogmatic about unlearned and untaught questions. Do we go immediately to heaven upon physical death? Well, on this we can be reasonably certain, and the answer is that we, our spirit, go to the unseen state of the dead, the intermediate state between death and the resurrection, that's called Hades, which is composed of paradise, Abraham's bosom, and also a place of torments, where the rich man went at his death in Luke chapter 16. Well, who will and will not go to heaven? Well, this is determined by our individual response to the call of Christ. Friend, we must be born again, John 3. And those who obey shall be saved, 2 Thessalonians 1, and those who don't, won't. No thieves will go there, Luke chapter 12, or such as those listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. No unclean persons, Revelation 21, the spiritually unclean, those unwashed by the blood of the Lamb. Revelation 21 and verse 8, Galatians chapter 6, they mention others who will not go there. Sometimes brethren are criticized with such words, "Do you think you are the only ones going to heaven?" Friend, we can confidently say that nobody is promised to go there who rejects the gospel and refuses to obey the gospel. Of course, heaven is open to whosoever will. The trouble is, the whosoever that won't contend that they're going to go there anyway. Well, sometimes the question is asked regarding heaven, will we recognize each other in heaven? Well, we can only say that even though the Holy Spirit does not directly answer this question and address it even, recognition is strongly implied. For instance, future life implies memory that connects with the former life. The inhabitants of the realm beyond the grave are reported as conscious of their whereabouts. They were conversing with each other, obviously in recognition of the past. The thief requested, "Lord, remember me," Luke 23 and verse 42. The rich man knew Lazarus and Abraham knew them both. Moses and Elijah were identified at the transfiguration of Christ long after they had died. I would not suggest that we should recognize one another by our physical features, heaven being a spiritual realm, and we then having a spiritual body, 1 Corinthians 15. But how does one spirit recognize another? Well, friend, I'll have to confess this goes beyond my ability to comprehend and beyond my ability to explain. But such is asserted in Scripture nonetheless, and we simply accept the Word of God. Paul said he would be present with the Lord and his Corinthian brethren. That certainly implies recognition, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The Thessalonians were taught the redeemed would be raised together. That implies recognition, 1 Thessalonians 4. David said he could go to his son, 2 Samuel chapter 12, implying he would know that event. But beyond this, well, we should not risk much more. Now, some have complained that if we do not recognize others, then would we be miserable if someone we loved was not there? Well, first, I want to respond to that by saying, I want to be sure that they are there, and I must do all that I can to help them get there. And I want to get there myself. But had you rather not be able to miss those absent than ignore those who are there? Take God's word for it. Heaven will be pleasant, regardless of what we may or may not know or recognize. Well, the question is asked, will they be degrees of reward and punishment? Again, the indications are in the affirmative. Luke chapter 12 speaks of few stripes and many stripes. Matthew chapter 11 mentions the judgment being more tolerable for some than for others. The parable of the talents indicates different rewards. We shall be judged according to our works, and they differ, Revelation 20. We shall enjoy, friend, the joy that is there according to our spiritual maturity and capacity. Paul says it will be very far better, Philippians chapter 1. So we'll just have to leave it there. But heaven is a real place. Heaven is not simply a state of mind, John chapter 14. It is called a place of spiritual peace. It is called a spiritual place. It is called a holy city, Revelation 22. It is where Christ went in order to make preparation, John 14. It is that place to which he ascended, Acts chapter 1. It is called the Father's house, John chapter 14. Now, a spiritual place may be only expressed in material terms, like 12 foundations and gates and gems and 12,000 furlongs and other such things as that, as we find in the book of Revelation. These terms are obviously figurative, like the street of gold and the perfect cube. But the important thing to remember is that God is there. Revelation 21 and verse 3. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and he their God. Now, the relationship of these words with the church is a subject that we're not going to enter into here, but it certainly has application, because heaven is the ultimate home of those who are faithful in the church. But heaven is presented as a place of worship, and a place of beauty, a place of perfect happiness and security with God. It is a new place, free of sin, there being no pain, no death, no sorrow, no tears, no night. 2 Peter chapter 3 specifies the end of this present world and this earth. A new habitation, a fit place to be abode by the redeemed, will be ours, and it will be joyful, eternal, blissful, an existence that is good, that is pure. And there will be the location of the tree of life, the paradise of God, Revelation 2:7. It was from this tree that man was barred when he sinned in the Garden of Eden, Genesis 3. Now, this is not a literal tree, but a figure and a symbol of spiritual life. Heaven is described as a place of reward, like the crown of life, the crown of righteousness, where the soul never dies. Heaven is in the presence of God, therefore the fullness of joy. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Psalm 16 and verse 11. Heaven is the place where Jesus is. He entered into heaven itself. The book of Hebrews refers to heaven as a better country, a place of security, Matthew 20, a place that shall last forever, Matthew 25, and there is no curse there, Revelation 22, and those who are there are identified with God. Paul in Romans chapter 2 and verse 7 shows heaven to be a place of glory and honor and immortality and peace and eternal life. God will be on the throne, Revelation 22. It is that Sabbath rest spoken of in Hebrews 4 and verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Revelation 14:13 says those that are there will be blessed. Revelation 7, therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. The mention of the temple implies heaven will be a place of worship, and those who were worshiping in Revelation 7, but were those whose robes had been washed and made white in the blood of the Lamb. But I want us to understand, as we bring this lesson to a close, heaven is a gift. Heaven is an inheritance. God forbid that we ever think that we can earn or merit or deserve heaven. Heaven is an inheritance to God's children, 1 Peter 1:4. It is given to us, Matthew 25 and verse 34. Now, to be sure, there are conditions that we must meet in order to receive this gift. But we're invited to go there, Revelation 22:17 and Acts chapter 10. And we can go there, provided we do as God has given commandment. But friend, even when we obey, we earn nothing. We are given access into heaven by the grace and mercy and love of God, demonstrated by the blood of Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection. We need to ask, will a religion that won't even take you to worship in this life take you to heaven? Friend, in order to be in heaven, we must obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. That means we must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said, except ye believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins, John 8:24. The same Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish, Luke 13:3. The same Jesus said, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father who is in heaven, Luke 12:8-9. And that same Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, Mark 16:16. And that same Jesus said, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life, Revelation 2 and verse 10. Will you set your goal to be heaven? Will you do what the will of God says you must do in order to receive God's gift and inheritance of heaven? Heaven, the home of the soul, is not this for which we long and for which we strive, and for which we long not only for ourselves, but for all those round about us. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Remember, to fear God and keep His commandments, this is the whole duty of man. Until next time.